2 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Brother Chad and Miss Chelsea and Myla and Kara and Nora are in Grand Island this morning, and they're filling in the pulpit for Brother Jeremy Reagan, and he'll be there all day, so we'll miss him. It's a blessing, though, isn't it? I've said this before, but it's a blessing that we have Brother Chad, and he's a blessing to our church. He's a blessing to me personally, and it is such a neat privilege to be able to be an extension like this and help other ministries. And so, although he's missed, he's being used of God. And Valley Avenue Baptist Church is reaching all the way to Grand Island this morning. So that's a blessing. We're in 2 Corinthians 4. And the topic in this message today, it's kind of a specific thing as it relates to Paul's ministry. But it also is a huge help for all of us, because what Paul is talking about as it relates to his ministry, it extends to yours and my ministries as well. What God desires to do through us in our day-to-day life as we minister for God. We need to see ourselves that way. We need to see ourselves beyond just like consumers. If we get into a consumer mindset or mentality as it relates to ministry or serving God, then our focus is in the wrong place. We'll primarily be thinking about what can I get out of this? I don't know if you remember, I did a sermon, a shopping cart or a shovel. Got that idea from Brother Jason Jett. Sometimes people come to church with a shopping cart. What is in this for me? Or a shovel means let's get to work. We're going to serve. And Paul understood that ministry had its challenges. And us serving God has its challenges. And what we want is to maintain a faithful, not just countenance, but have a kind of faithfulness that endures those challenges. And Paul gave us in this passage some keys that helped him to endure in the ministry. And so these same keys will help us. And so let's have a time of prayer after we read our text, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. So Paul says, we faint not. He doesn't want to throw in the towel. He doesn't want to quit. And that's his attitude there. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And that's such a great thought, not of us. So let's pray this morning, and our text title for our text is Keys to an Enduring Ministry. Father, I pray for your help as we study your word today, and we need to hear from you, so we pray for your blessings and help, and we'll give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me take a drink here. My throat is dry for some reason. My grandma and grandpa were married for 71 years. It's quite an amazing thing, isn't it? I would be I'll be blessed if I live to 71. You know, that's kind of how I see that. And I praise the Lord that my grandparents had such a great testimony, and they really were a sweet couple, and they were a great example for me when I was growing up. And in a generation that was committed, you know, in a generation that understood what it meant to be, what commitment was. And with that kind of endurance in marriage, we want God to help us to have that kind of an endurance in serving God, don't we? We want to wake up one day and having been serving God for many, many years and just be as excited on that day as we ever have been. We want that in our walk with God, in our ministries. To have that, there are things that need to be a part of our mindset, need to be a part of our life. We need to understand, you know, that there's much to do for God. There's many souls that need to be saved. And part of our motivation is understanding that that's why we're here. We're here to reach people. We're here to minister and see people saved. And we added on to the parking lot, and I see that I think most of you have already parked on that side, which is neat, that God has given us that, and now, God willing, we'll see more people come, and we'll start to fill that part up. But what does that mean? It means more people can be saved. That's what we want. That's why we're here. We though, understanding our vision and why we're here, we do find that it's challenging sometimes because we face those trials, those temptations, those discouragements that hinder us. And in those times, we want to serve God maybe. You have a heart this morning and you want to maintain a faithfulness, a walk that is faithful, but you see people fall off on the wayside, and it hurts us. It's not that I struggle with myself feeling that I'm going to fall off to the wayside. It's my heart hurts for others who fall off to the wayside. And I question, I wonder why would you do that? Why go away? And so my heart's burdened there. And some of you, we've talked, and you wondered the same thing, like why? And I can't tell you why. I can tell you that it happens. I can tell you that we're vulnerable and we're not immune to that happening to us. And I can tell you that it hurts. It hurts when people go away. But you know, I also say these things, and this is important, that I don't plan to go away. I understand that I'm vulnerable and it could happen, but I don't plan to. I plan to be here and to be faithful and to be committed. And if somebody's went away, then if I'm faithful, then they can come. I see it this way, then they can come back. And I want them to come back. And so, but if I leave, then those others who have left, then where will they go? You know, and where would they come back to if we all leave, you see? And so if I stay, if you stay, then we'll give them a chance sometime down the road to come back, you know, or more people to be saved. That parking lot's great, but we got to get cars in it. And so you and I, we show up and we're here and we're faithful and we're doing what God wants us to do, and then God brings more. He brings more cars. He brings visitors and guests, and we've been having that. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to give people a chance. Brother Jett said this in his sermon last week. Brother Tim told me about it, and I talked to Brother Jett on the phone about this, and it was a blessing to hear that this was a help. But he said this: people are just one choice away from God. People are just one choice away from God. You think about how far somebody might be or how far somebody might feel that they're away, but they're always just one choice away from God. And so let's give them that chance. Paul wanted to be faithful. He wanted to have an enduring ministry. He wanted to last all the way to the end. So that's why in verse 1 he said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, he said. He said, I don't want to faint. I want to be faithful. Sorry about that. He said, faint here means to be utterly spiritless, to be wearied out, to be exhausted. And it carries the implication of giving up or fizzling out or not maintaining the kind of fervor and passion and just going to the wayside. He said, I don't want to have that fainting time in my ministry. I want to be faithful. And so up until that time, he's faced hardships. I think you and I would understand, would agree that Paul has faced some hard things. And he has been faithful. He has stood the test. He has watched people fall to the wayside. He watched John Mark go away, and it broke his heart. Remember in the ministry, just launching out in Acts chapter 13, it was Paul and Barnabas, and they took John Mark with them, and they traveled to the island of Cyprus, which would have been the home, the home country of Barnabas and John Mark. And they traveled across this island, getting all the way to Paphos, watched the governor get saved, Sergius Paulus, got on a ship, and they're sailing on their way, and they get to Pamphylia, which is off the coast on the north side, going to head into Macedonia and just see great works done there, and the church in Philippi, and all the wonderful things that God's going to do in this region. But as soon as they landed in Pamphylia, getting off the ship, John Mark said, I'm heading back home. He said, this is too much for me. For whatever reason, John Mark got discouraged. He got down. He just didn't want to press on anymore. So the Bible says he went back to Jerusalem. And we find out later that really hurt the heart of Paul to watch John Mark go away. And praise God, John Mark came back. John Mark came back to the ministry. And it was hard for Paul to receive him back. It was hard for Paul because he wondered, are you going to leave again? You quit the first time. Are you going to quit the second time? And so it was hard for him. Barnabas receiving and taking John Mark and going one way, and Paul taking Silas and going another way. But then at the end, Paul reminded about John Mark and his faithfulness all the way to the end, saying that he was blessed by that. But the point is that in the ministry, Paul watched people go away. He watched people walk away from God. Apparently, he in this passage wanted the information to be given to God's people on how to maintain a ministry so that there wouldn't be that kind of quitting, there wouldn't be that kind of going away. One pastor gave a title to this, How to Finish. How to Finish. Paul didn't see himself any better than anyone else. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, he said this, verse 9, For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God I am what I am. So he gave the key elements to maintaining ministry. And he did. If anybody is qualified to give these elements, it's Paul. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4, that thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So enduring hardness. Paul, understand how that works. So here's the principles. Number one, be honest with the Word of God. Now, if you want to have an enduring ministry, it starts there. Be honest with the Word of God. Paul was honest with the Word of God. He wasn't deceptive with the Word of God. He wasn't manipulative with the Word of God. He taught the Bible just how it was. And we need that, don't we? We need to hear the Word of God we need to hear it how it is. You know, that song, Preacher, Tell Me How It Is. Don't tell me what I want to hear, tell me what I need to hear. Now we need to have a compassionate, kind spirit with it, but it doesn't mean that we don't preach it with boldness and that there's not correction there. I mean, God corrects us, and we need to hear it. We need to hear the truth. And we need to be in church, by the way, so that we can hear the Word of God. And we need to be in a church where we're going to hear the Word of God. Paul understood all of that. Enduring ministry, is you can't start anywhere else than starting with being in a place where you're going to hear the Word of God and you're going to be honest with the Word of God. There's plenty of ministries out there that are not honest with the Word of God. God through Paul here says, be honest with the Word. Look at verse 2. He says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Okay, as it relates to the Word of God is what he's talking about here. Not walking in craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. The truth, that's key. Committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So, remaining truthful to the Word of God. And he said, never walking in craftiness. Craftiness. You know, like Caleb's doing these magic tricks. And I noticed that he slipped a card under there and does a little thing. I'm like, and I pretend like, oh, that was a good one sometimes. Sometimes I'm just like, I do not know how you did that. That was a good one. You know, and that's when he knows. He can know, here's how you know whenever you really got me. When I say, that was a good one. When I say, that was a good one, you got me. Then when anything else I say, then I probably saw you flip the card under there or do it in the shirt or whatever. I don't know. No craftiness. Paul says there's no magic tricks. I'm not pulling a rabbit out of the hat in my sermons, you know. Like, I'm not coming up with this little crafty kind of thing. Now, what would that be motive? I mean, why would you do that, by the way? Because you have a different motive than just saying the truth. You're trying to get something else. I'm trying to get something else out of this, you know. So I'm being crafty to get my own little thing going. That preachers can do that, you know. I've been guilty. Now, I'm not proud of any times that I've done that. I can't think of a time right now, but I mean, I've come to the pulpit with my own agendas at times. Does God bless those? No. I mean, He blesses His Word. But the crafty part, I mean, it never turns out better, you know. And Paul says, we're not doing that. Now, you and I can do that. Not just the pastor or the preacher or the teacher, but you and I. Let's read on. He says, handling the Word of God deceitfully. He says, but by manifestation of the truth committing ourselves. So he's never using the Word of God deceitfully to manipulate, to try to twist and get his own thing. Well, that's touching for you and me. Why? Because sometimes we're maybe tempted to not use the Word of God truthfully, to twist it a little bit, kind of for our own means, ends, you know, a means to an end, you know, using the Scripture to kind of justify something the Scripture really isn't saying that we should do. Well, you know, the Bible says I should be happy, therefore, God wants me to be happy, right? So then we do something the Bible says is wrong, you know, because God wants us to be happy. Well, He does want you to be happy, but He doesn't want you to twist the Scriptures for your own purposes, you know. So that is something that can happen to us. Well, God blessed me with this job, therefore He must be okay with me forsaking church, you know. Well, maybe God bless you with the job, but I'm not sure that God is wanting you to forsake the things that matter more than your job, you see. But we can do that, twisting the Scripture to get our own things. Pastors can do it, and we can all become guilty of these kinds of things. And what ends up happening is when you're not truthful or honest with the Word of God, your ministry, the longevity of your service for God is hindered. You'll not have the kind of enduring ministry for God if you're not honest with the Word of God. And Paul understood that. One writer said it like this: If you manipulate Scripture, then you cannot keep that up over the long haul. You cannot keep that up over the long haul. Then he connected it to this. He says, like these televangelists, you know, they have to take their show on the road. Go from town to town to place and have to live in a world where no one really sees the life that you live, and you can't have any real relationships because you're not going through the Word of God to live your life. Pretty interesting. Well said. One right, and he also said this: Paul does not need a cloak. He does not need to cloak his deeds in secrecy. He is open to the view of the entire world because he's living what he is preaching. He is living what he's preaching. And so he said the manifestation of the truth. The point is that a long-lasting, enduring kind of ministry is a biblical ministry. The integrity of the integrity of Paul's ministry, the integrity of yours and my life, needs to be based on biblical principles. And then God gives us a long-lasting ministry when we live there. Another writer said this: Paul never compromised the truth of the gospel, even when the odds were against him, even when the odds were overwhelming. So key number one to enduring ministry: be honest with the Word of God. Be honest with the Word of God. And we can't fudge on this. This is what God said. We might not like it sometimes, but this is what God said. Okay? Number two, be patient. Be patient to let God work. This is what we were talking about before. Be patient. That's our favorite word, isn't it? I love that word. God, teach me patience. Don't ever pray that. No, you should pray that. We should pray that. Just don't be upset when God starts teaching you to be patient by putting you in scenarios where you feel like, gotta do something. Something needs to happen, you know. God says, no, you need to be patient. If you're not patient, then it's you doing it and not God. Can I go ahead and say that again? If you're not patient, more than likely you're doing it, not God. Okay, look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That's a great thought there. If it's hid, it's hid to the lost. In whom the God of this world, by the way, who's that? The God of the world, Satan. He's blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. So Paul understood he delivered the word of God, but he didn't open people's eyes. He delivered the word of God, but it wasn't his job to make people see. You know, I mean, I can't make people get it. We just give it. We give the word, and then God begins to work. God begins to open eyes. Paul understood that. It's simple truth, but it's hard to live it because we want things to happen quicker than they do sometimes. As it relates to the work of God and God's answers and God's leadership and God dealing with things and God changing people or changing circumstances. And we want things to happen. And sometimes God doesn't work as quickly as we want. Previously in chapter 3, Paul had mentioned that and used that veil metaphorically that Moses had over his face as a representation that Israel were blinded, but they were hard. They had hard hearts. And that's what that metaphor is representing. The veil is representing the hardness of heart. Why do people not change? Because their heart is hard. Why do people not see? Because their heart is hard. They can't see because of their heart. Remember Pharaoh? He could not see. He would not see. He could not see because he would not see. You know, you think, well, didn't God harden his heart? Yeah, but he had hardened his own heart first. And he could not see because he would not see. And that happens to us. You know, God, we share the light, but God works in the hearts. And so Moses had a veil over his face. Look over chapter 3. We're right there. Look at verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look at the end of that which was abolished, but their minds were blinded. See, their minds were blinded. Look at verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. So the heart is the issue. The hardness, the blindness is in the heart. And only God can break that. The gospel is rejected because there were those who were unwilling to accept it. We're not the reason that people don't get saved. If we share the gospel, if we're faithful, and people aren't getting saved yet, You should keep doing it, and people will get saved. We've seen that, don't we? But if they're not being saved, and it seems like it's taking so long, and maybe we feel like we're doing something wrong, we're not doing something wrong if we're giving the gospel. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:3, don't turn there, "Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you," listen to this, "for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God," to you word. So Paul says, we are weak and he is strong. We're the messengers. The message is what works in the heart of the people. So we deliver the message and God does the work. Verse 7 says that in our text. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure is the gospel. The earthen vessels is you and me, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So this, friends, this is not yours and my work. This is the work of God, and He uses us as vessels, like tools, to accomplish His work. And what a blessing it is. Talked to Brother Josh this morning and Brother Tim standing in the back, and I thought, man, where would we be without you guys this morning? I barely know how to turn the sound system on, you know, and you guys have worked yourself into an integral part of what we are here. Brother Steve's going to lead the choir, you know, and Ava played the piano. God uses us as vessels. And as we're faithful and He uses us, then it makes the difference to do the work in the hearts of the lost. Another writer said this, "The gospel is not about Paul and his strength and virtue. It's about Christ, who imparts strength and virtue to frail, weak human beings and delivers them from Satan's bondage." So what do we need to do? Be patient. We need to let God do the work and be patient. We tend to bulldoze. That's what we do. We're bulldozers, some of us. Let me go to the other end of that. Some of us are bulldozers, and maybe some of us are just lazy. But you know, being patient, that takes effort. God doesn't move sometimes as fast as we want Him to move, and we forget that, you know, He really needs to do the work. He needs to do it. And if we're patient, then He'll do it. He'll work. He's working already right now. Well, my situation is kind of stressful, you know. And maybe action needs to be taken, you know, and God will give you peace about what to do if something needs to be done, you know. But, you know, circumstances changing and people changing and things getting better, or you know, things growing or things becoming, you know, one way as opposed to another way. I mean, we need to leave things in the hands of God. We need to be faithful. We need to be faithful. And we need to trust that God has never stopped working. And He will never stop working. You just maintain that faithful kind of endurance and let God work. And then when He does it, it's perfect. When God does it, it's perfect. It's just right. When we bulldoze, it doesn't go as well. When we get involved and we get ahead of God, we start pushing things through, you know, because we expect and we want things now and we don't want to wait, then we tend to mess things up, you know. But if you wait, and God does it, and it's great. It's perfect. You know, I wish I could just help kids get this as it relates to relationships. You know, just wait to let God do it, you know. Because when God does it, it'll be perfect. When we bulldoze and we get ahead of God, then we just sort of make a mess of it. And then we have to, you know, God will help us through that. Even when we make a mess of it, God in His grace helps us through to get things corrected, but it doesn't have to be that way if we'll just wait. Wait with God on finances. You're like, well, I really want to do this financially. Can you, you know, if you bulldoze through and make things happen, what you're going to find, we bulldozed through, bought a car, and it ended up being a huge problem. And I did not have peace about buying that car. And this was years ago, but we bought it. And it is etched in my mind as the Blue Lemon. Because it was a nightmare all the way until I sold it for a fraction of the price. And here's what's frustrating, Brother Tim, is the guy I sold it to, he ran that thing for over 100,000 miles and never had a problem with it. As soon as I sold it, it became a blessing, you know. But that's what happens when we get where we're not going to be patient. We're just going to bulldoze and we're going to do it and it's just going to happen because... And then we'll go back to point number one. Well, God wants me to be happy, you know, and God wants me to do this, so it must be okay. And we twist the word of God and we bulldoze and it compounds and becomes a huge problem. So you want to have endurance. And by the way, this discourages us. When you have a tendency to not trust God and to not be patient with letting God work, and that's your routine, then you're not. It's not the kind of character that's going to give you a long-lasting ministry. Paul understood that. That's why this is a big point for him. Okay, number one, be honest with the Word of God. Number two, be patient to let God work. Be patient to let God work. Just remember, He's working, you know? Okay, number three. Don't seek recognition. Don't seek recognition. He says in verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In verse 7, he says the last phrase, not of us. So, preaching, this isn't self-promotion, Paul says. This isn't a time for us to promote ourselves. It's not a popularity contest. We're not seeking status. One writer said it like this: contrary to what Paul's accusers suggested, he in fact only labored to advance the cause of Christ. He did not labor to advance his own interests. It had been true that the Corinthian church had started this had this reputation of exalting their ministers. Keep your finger here, but go to 1 Corinthians 1 with me. 1 Corinthians 1. Let me show you a verse. 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And here's what they are. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. And then verse 13, is Christ divided? So what was happening is the church was segregating based upon these, you know, these groups who were following certain men. And you know, I'm going to follow this man because I like him better. Or I'm going to follow this man because I like him better. And so there was this segregation that was happening because of popularity. I like Paul better. You know, I think he's a more theological preacher. Or I like Apollos and he's my favorite preacher because, you know, he just makes me laugh or something, you know. And so there was this division. Paul says, that's not what we're about. We're not into a popularity contest. He says, now if we're talking specifically to preachers, then we don't need to get up here and then try to become something so that we can be liked. We don't need to get up here and try to say things so that people like our message. Say, well, you never do that, Pastor. That's very tempting for me. You have no idea. I do not like being the preacher who had a bad sermon. I don't like being the preacher who people don't like to hear. And I think most preachers don't like that, don't want that. But Paul says, that's not why we do this. I'm not doing this to gain status or become, you know, popular. Preaching, if it becomes that, then you can't have a long-lasting ministry. You can't have a ministry that maintains for the long haul. Why? Because popularity comes and popularity goes. You could be the best pastor in the whole world and everybody loves you. And then the next week, you're enemy number one. You know? So by the same people sometimes. And Paul says, we don't do it for that. This kind of recognition mentality fizzles and goes away. And that touches you and I too. Or not just preachers, but all of us. Why? Because we need to be careful that we don't do things just to be recognized. You know, we don't give so that we can be recognized as a big part of what's happening in the giving, you know. We give as unto the Lord. In Matthew, Jesus talked about that, giving secretly or in the closet. Let your alms not be known. And he also talked about praying and just having that loud sort of out in front of everybody praying. But no, don't do that. Don't just do this to be seen of men, but in the closet, you see, between you and God alone. And so there is a temptation, I think, sometimes to minister or to do things for God, but really it's just to be seen. And Paul says you can't have a long-lasting ministry, a ministry that you faint not if you're seeking recognition. Why? Because sometimes people don't recognize you. Sometimes you're not patted on the back. Sometimes you're not told thank you. You know, hey, thank you for that. I just wanted, you know, I try to be mindful of what people do and don't, you know, do and the involvement, and I am thankful, and I'm not shy away from saying thank you. Give honor to whom honor is due. And if a song was a blessing, I'm going to say, wow, that was a blessing. And even if a song didn't go like somebody wanted it to go, it's a blessing that they sang, and I want to be an encouragement anyway, you know. And so we're going to say things, and we're going to be a blessing, try to be an encouragement to people. But even with that, sometimes somebody doesn't get thanked and somebody doesn't get recognized. And maybe somebody did something. You know how, you know, when your wife does this, I don't know if you guys can relate or you ladies do this. I don't know. But did you notice something different about me? You know, and if I noticed, I would have already said it. You know, I didn't notice. And sometimes my wife gets her hair done and I should know, you know, but I just don't. And she's like, did you notice my hair? I'm like, obviously I didn't notice your hair. But I always say, yeah, I noticed. That's a time when I'm a liar. So Lord help me. But, you know, she says that. So did you notice? I didn't notice. And sometimes people do things and they just want you to notice. But if you don't notice, then it kind of hurts their feelings, you know? Well, so-and-so didn't even notice that I did that, you know? Well, I'm not even going to do that. You see where it can take you? Well, I'm not even going to do this anymore because nobody even cares. And we have this mentality of needing recognition, and maybe we don't realize that we even feel that way. Paul says, if you need recognition, then you're not going to have a long-lasting ministry. Because there will be times when we do it and only God knows about it. And guess what? That's okay. That's enough. One time we walked into church. This was years ago. I was a teenager in Oklahoma. And there was a brand new piano. Brand new. Pastor didn't know where it came from. Like, nobody knew where it came from. We just walked into church, and there was a brand new piano there. To this day, no idea where it came from. That's pretty neat, isn't it? It's pretty neat. It's pretty neat whenever something happens and nobody knows who did it. Except one, God knows. Is it wrong that somebody knows? No, it's not wrong. The problem isn't that somebody knows if we're doing something for God. That's not the problem. The problem is if we need it. If we need recognition, or we won't do it. Paul says, no, let's be faithful to God. Let's serve Him. Let's do things whether people recognize us or not. It's enough. It's enough that we're doing it for Him. Long-lasting ministry. 3 points. You knock these out, you'll be faithful to the end. Be honest with the Word of God. Don't twist it. Don't change it. Receive it. Thank the Lord for it when your toes get stepped on. Be patient to let God work. Be patient to let God work. Don't bulldoze. Let God do it. And then don't seek recognition. Maybe a better word, don't need recognition. Don't need recognition. Let me ask a couple questions and we're done. Have you had trouble trusting the principles from God's Word to work in your life? Number two, is it hard for you to be patient to let God work sometimes? And then last, do you struggle when you don't feel appreciated? Do you struggle when you don't feel appreciated? If any of those principles are there, then let me encourage you to seek the Lord for His help to get those things right, and you'll be in line to have a long-lasting ministry. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You that we're able to study Your Word, and we want this. We want these principles to be at work in our life. And we heard a great sermon a couple weeks ago in Oklahoma, Pastor Gaddis preaching this exact passage and titling it, Keep the Plow in the Ground. And so, Lord, we want to have that. We want to have that attitude, that spirit, keeping the plow in the ground. Thank You for these principles that will help us to keep the plow in the ground. And we'll give You glory for what You do in our life through us because of You. And it's in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're